You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing. Found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot. There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Homark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm feeling like $1 million, brother. $1 million.
You sound like $1 million.
Well, I got to tell you something. We've been hitting it pretty hard and heavy on the road, me and the crew. I've had to take care of some corporate business, and they're still going, and things are just keeping on, my man. That's what it's all about.
I know.
We've got all these people and these armchair quarterbacks. We've got these naysayers out there, and we got all these ding-dongs, if you know what I'm talking about, okay? But we know who the real deal is here, the guys that are out there heel and toeing it down that road each and every day. You keep hearing from the weary old warriors, these road warriors that get out there and check it out, because that's the only way it's going to get done, as you and I both know. Isn't that right, Marco?
You better believe it. That's the only way.
You know, I got to, I have to confess, ladies and gentlemen, I've been talking the last couple of days to a nice young lady. Her name is Sharon Lee. Her moniker is Sharon Lee, the field Bigfoot reporter. Seems to be a real nice guy. Now, all my audience out there around the globe, please don't be harsh, because I noticed that you saw her name She's not on tonight, and you don't know her. Just like I don't know her. I've talked to her on the phone a couple of times. She seems to be a civil woman, a rational woman, and hopefully, you know, down the line we'll have her on the show, and I don't know what kind of controversy she's started on this Facebook thing, but that's okay. I got your messages, everybody, loud and clear, and don't be harsh to her. She seems to be an A-OK gal, at least to me right now, okay? As a matter of fact, she even put something out there on Facebook that I'm an angel compared to Matt Moneymaker. So I send you out 3 kisses, darling. Mwah, mwah, mwah. You are the best. Thank you for that, Sharon Lee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I've always said this. If you don't know the people, don't criticize, okay? Wait till you shake their hand. Wait till you see them face to face and talk to them as human beings. She seems to be a rational, straight-up gal. I don't know what she's got going on Facebook. I don't believe in any of that bullshit. As you guys know, I'm straight up. I tell it like it is. And her and I are going to get to know each other. I've invited her out to a couple of gigs. Whether she comes or not, it's her business. But the invitation stands. She'll see how we do what we do, how we do it. And I hope that down the line, especially Sharon, if you are listening, I hope you accept that for me, honey. And by the way, you got those movies coming. You should have them in a day or two. After you view them, be kind enough to give me a call and tell me your viewpoints on that. One more time, people around the globe. Sharon Lee, the Field Bigfoot reporter. Don't be harsh to her. Don't be mean. She's a human being like the rest of us, and as far as I'm concerned, seems to be straight up. And I'll tell you what, for a gal, she's got balls because she came right out straight up and told everybody, hey, as far as I'm concerned, Tom Bastardi's an angel compared to Matt Moneymaker. I like this girl, and I'm going to get to know her myself. Well, first of all, or second of all, I'd like to talk about Mitch Waite. Here's another weary, old road warrior, just like me. Excuse me. But he's going through some problems right now with his mama. And the only thing I can ask for everybody around the globe is to keep those prayers coming in. She may be taking the last road to the big guy in the sky. And let's just get our prayers that she goes comfortably, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me talk about it in the past. And, Mitch, I know you're on tonight, and sometimes you need to clear your head and get away from all that stuff that you're so close to. And you know that many, many people loves Mama, including me and my team. And we hope for the best for you and your family. Well, a lot of stuff's going on, ladies and gentlemen, all around this nation, all around the globe, but more so here because we've got it until probably around the 25th of this month, where these things continue on to migrate. That's correct. They continue on to migrate. And you know, we're going to have a guest on here right now. Our first guest, Jim Dawson, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard me talk about him in the past. He's been on the show in the past. This guy is probably one of the most knowledgeable non-Bigfoot hunters around. And let me explain. Number one, here's a man that took the objective point of view. He took that other road and said, hey, let me do a little investigating. And he's done it, okay? And he's done it kind of like on the Internet, but he's let his thought processes sit. And what do I mean by that? He's let his thought processes wait. You know, water seeks its own level, ladies and gentlemen, and the cream rises to the top. This man saw the forest through the trees. He could see the bullshit, and he could see the reality. Without any further ado, let's get out there. He's down in Arkansas now, via Illinois. My good buddy, Jim Dawson. Good evening, Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
Marco, you're on mute of mine.
You're on, Jim.
This is Lee, Marco.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You meet the wrong guy.
Well, you're doing well.
Well, now, let's see which one it is.
Yeah. You got to forgive my canter, ladies and gentlemen. I've been with Billy Sloan out to where we were and everything, and when he drinks that.
Jim, are you on now?
Yeah, did you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Loud and clear, Jimmy.
There we go.
How are you, first of all?
I am doing wonderful. I'm down in Arkansas. I just got out of the Spring River. The water's about, I'm going to say, 65 to 72 degrees. It is so cold. I just got out of the river, dried off, put on a pair of shorts. My beautiful sweetheart, Becky, made me a nice meal, and I've had a great evening. I'm so excited to be on your show tonight, and I just can't tell you how excited I am to be here. And I want to know, which do you guys want to talk about? Do you want to talk about what's going on in Arkansas, or do you want to talk about the facade that I figured out this week with a known Bigfoot hunter that has perpetuated a lie for the last 2 years, knowingly perpetuated a lie? Which one do you guys want to talk about?
Here's what I want to talk about. I want you to leave Arkansas alone until after the 15th of next month, and you know the reason why for that. Number one.
Okay.
Number two, I applaud you for your due diligence, what you've done, and you put it out there. You're kind of like this Sharon Lee. Maybe you should be the next Jim Dawson, the guy that's got the balls, that's got the field reporter. Because I'll tell you what, it took a lot of big ones, big cojones, to get out there and put out and do what you did. Why don't you give us a little background on that deal, and let's go into it in depth.
Okay. Well, it starts off with a guy who is doing a bunch of research in Vermont, and this guy is the real deal. He has spent the last 4 years researching an area in the mountains of Vermont, and he is the real deal. And his YouTube channel is Reality Ghost. He has posted 61 videos over the last 4 years, and he is legitimate. There's no scam. He's not trying to take any money from anybody. He's not trying to scam anybody. The guy is the real deal. Tom Biscardi, he's the kind of guy you'd want to go in and visit with because he's no bullshit, and you'd love him. Guy's name is Rick, and his channel, again, is Reality Ghost, and you guys ought to go see it. In the first video, he has got a pile of Bigfoot hair that Bigfoot literally cut off of his body at the beginning of the year to get the white hair off of his body, and it goes from there, and it's the darndest thing I've ever seen. Well, this gentleman.
Hold on, Jim.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Let me try to explain something to you here, okay? Due to the fact that we've got such large competition out there, I don't have to tell you who they are. These people have no content for their show. Monster Quest, Finding Bigfoot, and all this other stuff, okay? So what they do is they link into our shows and they link into our emails every Wednesday night, okay? Because they know that there's only one real Bigfoot radio show out there that streams out all around the world, and that's ours. We're going on our fifth year. So what happens now is, and we've been noticing this more and more, but we've kind of, you know, turned our backs and turned our other cheek. So now what we're going to do, we're going to make it a little bit more difficult for them, Jimmy. And I think you understand where I'm from. So let's not bring out anybody's name, cities. Let's just broad stroke this paintbrush and just say in the state of Vermont, okay?
I got you. All right. So this gentleman's worked for 4 years. He's posted 61 videos. He's done a great job. He's legitimate. And he has actually, during this period of time, his first year, he trusted someone from the BFRO. This guy comes in, he steals from this gentleman. He writes a book. He actually writes a book and gets it published and uses my friend as the central character in his book. And then he starts going in behind his back into that area, into that research area when he's not there, and trying to steal his stuff. Then secondly, the guy goes on for about a year stealing his stuff, and then here's the best part. He goes in, he sets up a pseudo camp. He sets up a tent, he sets up a radio, and then he puts some tomatoes in a tree. And he decides that the tomatoes in the tree are going to be the fruit that the Bigfoot comes and checks out. Well, my friend is out walking in his area. He has no idea that this guy has done this. So he walks up on this camp on a ravine in this area in Vermont. He sees these tomatoes. He thinks it's a hunter, not a Bigfoot guy. He thinks it's a hunter trying to bait animals. So he takes the tomatoes and he throws them about the area. And then the guy that's doing the Bigfoot research, the second guy from BFRO, hangs his hat on Bigfoot, comes in and sees his tomatoes and takes them. And Bigfoot is messing with him, and so now Bigfoot has stolen his tomatoes. Well, my friend contacts him and says, look, I made a mistake. It was myself and my friend who came into your camp. We are the ones who took your tomatoes. We threw them about the area, and you need to retract this statement. This is 2 years ago. Well, this BFRO guy does not retract it. He goes on for the next 2 years hanging his hat on the fact that Bigfoot stole his tomatoes and it was nothing to do with Bigfoot. It was my friend that had set him up in the first place. He had told him 2 years prior that he had done this, and this guy has perpetuated this lie to the point that he has written a book. He has went out about the Bigfoot community telling people that he's legitimate, that Bigfoot has came into his camp and stolen his tomatoes, and that's what he's hanging his hat on. And it's the funniest story because it's about a bunch of tomatoes that Bigfoot never touched. It was my friend who saw the tomatoes and threw them about the area because he thought it was a hunter just out there trying to bait animals. And so the guy has hung his hat on the Bigfoot story. And now the BFR holds this gentleman as one of the preeminent Bigfoot researchers, and this guy is just, he's made a name for himself in the Bigfoot community, and it's all been based on a total fraud and a total lie. The guy has had 2 years to retract his story, knowing that someone else did that, and he has not once retracted his story. And I think that's just the absolute funniest thing I have ever heard.
Well, I think the whole thing is ludicrous, if you ask me. I mean, the guy that set this thing up, and he came forward and told everybody, I mean, come on, let's be real here. What seems to be the problem?
Well, apparently the guy that's doing the Bigfoot research that's got everybody bum-fuzzled doesn't want to admit the truth. He's a liar and he's a fraud.
Well,
that's
just
the bottom line. He's a fraud, and he goes around telling people that he's hanging his hat on this whole thing that's a fraud, and people believe him. And see, the problem is this, Tom. There are some real legitimate Bigfoot researchers out there. Tim Stover, who is TSJR at Bigfoot, he's a legitimate guy. There's a bunch of guys out there that are legitimate Bigfoot researchers. Tom Biscardi is a legitimate Bigfoot researcher. The problem is there's a lot of guys out there that are not legitimate, and they make everyone look like they're scamming. They make everyone look like they're a bunch of idiots, and that's the problem in the Bigfoot community, if you would. There's a bunch of people out there that are just full of it. They have no solid basis on which they base anything they say to folks. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they do anything to get their name out there in front of people. They're not making money in the first place, but they just want to make a name for themselves. But what it does is it creates a situation where folks are questionable about any information that folks put up on the net. And that's what I found to be true over the last year of doing this research and looking around. I've found that there's three or four, maybe five people that are really legitimate, and then the rest of the folks out there are just tag-alongs. They're just trying to say that they're legitimate and they're really not. and it makes everyone look bad.
You know, I got to tell you, number one, thank you very much for your candid opinion. I've said it all along for in excess of 38 years, from the beginning when I get started in this damn business, this crazy business, but it's a great business, and I'll tell you the reason why. In the beginning, Jim, you don't know this story, or maybe I told you, I don't know. But people used to say to me, well, Tom Biscardi, they wrote about it in the net, but all these goofballs that don't even know me and all this crap, you know, and said, well, Biscardi's only in this for the money. Give me a break, folks. Let me ask you this. How many people out there that's within my voice listening to this show tonight work for a living? Work to provide a roof over your family's head, clothes on their back, and food in their stomach? The majority of them, I'm sure, okay? Well, I do the same thing, as well as my crew. Somebody's got to pay them. Somebody's got to have that abode to live in. You got to have gas for that vehicle, insurance to pay for it. And they said, oh, well, but Scardy's in this for the money. This is my job, folks. This is what I do. Hello? I'm just being straight up. You work for a living. You work for a paycheck. Well, guess what? And I got to work doubly hard because if I don't produce and I don't sell on our merchandising and stuff, we don't get paid, folks. It's a dry road in between. Trust me. So when they say, oh, Biscardi's in this for the money, you bet your sweet bippy, kids. I am. But I like to eat like you like to eat. I like to drive like you like to drive. I like to have great treads on my body like you do. I'm no different than anybody else, folks. I just have a little bit more gumption, a little more savvy to get ahead and to make it. And I'm not going to stop until we do. And you know what? Next month is coming real soon. I'm waiting for the results. And the world's going to hear about it. I'm not going to tell nothing anymore. But I'm telling you straight up, this comes back the way I think it's going to come back. Everybody's going to be kissing old Tom Biscardi's tuchus. I'll guarantee you that. And they'll be waiting in line. All those naysayers, all those bashers, all those morons, all those bottom feeders, wait at the back of the line. I want nothing to do with you. And you know what?
You know, Tom, I wrote a letter to Matt Moneymaker about him bashing you about 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. And I pointed out to Matt that, yes, he's out to make money, just like Tom Biscardi, just like everyone else in this business. If you're not in this business to make money, what are you doing this for? That's the most ridiculous thing in the world to say, I'm not in this to make money. Of course you're in this to make money, just like everybody else. Everybody wants to discover this creature. Everybody wants to have the video. Everybody wants to capitalize on it. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. We live in a capitalistic society. That's what the American society was built on. That doesn't mean that you lie, you cheat, you steal. That doesn't mean that. What that means is that you tell the truth, you go forward, and you do the right thing. And for Matt Moneymaker to sit around and act like he's not trying to make money is ridiculous. If he wasn't, what's the whole purpose of this Animal Planet program and finding Bigfoot about? The whole thing is about making money. It's ridiculous.
Isn't that, and it's called, and they said, oh, but Scotty's in the entertainment business. Give me a break, people. Who's got the reality show, and what is the reality show all about? Entertainment. Come on, man. What's wrong with this world? Get a grip on life, folks. How many people get out to real locations instead of state parks and charge money on the weekends, folks? Not Tom Biscardi and his crew. You know who it is. You know, here this guy bashes me, doesn't even know me. He's never met me. He's never talked to me. This poor gal, Sharon Lee, the Bigfoot field reporter, calls him and wants an interview. He said, I don't give interviews. What are you afraid of, Matt? make yourself look like an asshole like you did on Fox that last time? Now, I don't know you. That's just my personal opinion, Matt. You sounded and looked like a complete asshole, partner. But that's my opinion one more time. And you know what? I'll back it up. Anytime you or any of your Bobo boys or whatever the hell they're called, I haven't had a chance to watch the show yet because I've been too busy looking for Bigfoot, okay? But I'm going to buy the series. I'm going to watch them all. I've been getting all kinds of emails. Oh, well, Matt Moneymaker was the one that came up with the tree knocking. He was the only one in the business. Give me a break. Give me a break. Don't go telling more lies. That thing's been out for 500 damn years. I'll put up a quest for the Animal Planet, too. Let's see if they got balls. I'll put up a challenge. Let's put Moneymaker's team and my team up in a hot area. Let's see who comes up with the real deal first. Now you'll find out who's made up of any salt. There's a challenge to all you scumbags that are out there listening. All you full of shit assholes. Getting my dander up. But that's okay. There's a challenge for you. Animal Planet, I hope you're listening. I know the execs out there. But they couldn't afford Tom Biscardi. So they got the bottom of the barrel. Good luck for you, son. I hope you make it. But I know you only did 6 series. But I'm sure that that's going to be at the bottom. And it's all over. It's all she wrote. Unless you get a miracle. But they know who's the real deal. They know who gets out there and makes it all happen. But I hope you're listening. I hope somebody sends this show to Matt Moneymaker. The challenge is on, son. Let's see if you got any balls. Come on. Let's see if you can do it. Hey, Jimmy, I want to tell you, you're my kind of guy, buddy. Remember what I told you about what I got coming on? And you and your son, I hope he's doing well. Did he get out of school?
Yes, he did, and we're moving to Arkansas. I have a son with autism, and I'm so excited about him moving to Arkansas. He loves the river. He's going to live in a small town and go to a small school, and that's the best thing in the world for him. I'm so excited.
Wonderful. And I can't wait to meet him. I tried to meet him when we were out there, but, you know, you couldn't make that flight in, and I understood.
Well, I look forward to seeing you soon, and we'll have some things put together here in Northeast Arkansas now that I'm down here. And I'll tell you something, Todd, when 2 rivers, 9 lakes, all the uninhabited acreages down here, we'll get something put together, and there'll be plenty of things to investigate in this area. There is no way in the world that we don't have a pile of Bigfoot down here. It's just there's 78,000 uninhabited acres here. He's got to be somewhere.
Hey, I look forward to being with you and again meeting your young tyke. You stay strong. Keep up your own opinion. Nobody can take that from you. And God bless you. Just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, good buddy. Marco, let's go to commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One that hurts the people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Back to you, Tom.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, you have no clue. Just recently, today, there was an editor of this magazine. I'll be out on a cover of or whether it's the cover or the major story, I don't know, as of yet, next month in July. And we'll post it up there and where you people can see it and buy it. It's a first-class, high-class magazine. The editor calls me after seeing Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. And he says to me, Mr. Biscardi, I've never met you before,
I've read all the trash that's out there on the internet. And I've got to tell you, after seeing this movie, and he says, film does not lie. That film that was taken in that period does not lie. He says, you've got so much courage, and you're the man that was the victim. You and your boys, your team members. And he says, you know, it's a shame that they're still out there. But you know what? What goes around comes around, folks. And I got to tell you something else. Our new movie, Bigfoot Lives 2, my God, flying off the shelves. Unbelievable. Got new shipment coming in on Thursday. Those of you who didn't get it, they're on the way, guaranteed. And that leads us into our next guest, ladies and gentlemen. My good buddy, he's my, like my own boy, Lee Joyner out there in Grand Prairie, Texas. Lee, you out there?
Yeah, hey, Pops, how you doing?
Good to hear your voice, son. How are things out there?
Oh, we're doing good. It's hot, but we're trying to stay cool.
It's been hot out there here.
Yeah.
I'm well. I'm doing some business, corporate business. The boys are on the road, and we'll be hooking up with them here on Friday. I understand you got the movie. One of the first ones, anyway.
Yeah, it was great. It was real good. And I liked it better than I did the first one.
Well,
not just as much.
Yeah, they're saying that it's just as good, if not better. And at the end where it says, to be continued for Bigfoot Lives 3, what part did you like the best in this one, Lee?
Well, you know, since I live here in Texas, I like the part about Paris. That's the most interesting one to me. All the footprints and everything, you know, the footage of the creature and all that stuff. I mean, that's just fascinating.
Wasn't that incredible, that new footage that we released on that DVD?
It was great. It was great, let me tell you. It was pretty neat.
You know, you hear about all these blog watch pictures and stuff that just looks like a blog of shit, excuse the expression, but my gosh, this stuff has got action going on where it's all going on. And you know, I got to tell you, in Mike Sell's memory, we dedicate this movie to him at the back. Did you see that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
He was knocked down by one of these creatures when he took some of that photograph, that footage, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, what'd you think about that gal in Kentucky?
Yeah, that was something else too. That story was strange right there. It was good. It's a good one, I'll tell you. And the one in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
And the one in Flidell, Louisiana, Carol Evans. He's on one of the History Channel, I think.
Yeah, he's on Swamp People. Every Thursday night, he's on Swamp People. You bet. So before, ladies and gentlemen, he got his reality show. He was on ours. We were out there looking in the brush in the swamps with him. You get to see all of it, the whole segment on Carol and his lovely wife, Dana Holyfield, and the people out there in the swamp. I mean, it's how those people live. Was that not incredible or what, Lee?
That's amazing how they live way back in the swamp like that, and how they just live off the land and stuff. That they're still doing that today, you know.
Exactly. Who would ever thought 2011 that crap's still going on? But here's a good point. You've been out in the brush with us several times. You know, these guys that go look for Bigfoot on the road, okay? And they travel these roads up and down and everything. What do we do when we're out there?
We go out in the field. We get out in the woods. We go track him down and get in there with him, you know. Where he's hanging around at. We get off in the brush.
And that's what it's all about. Let me ask you this. The last time we were out there in Frost, Texas, was that pretty incredible stuff?
That was incredible. I couldn't, just that was amazing. The peanut butter and all that we put out and had the dermal ridges in the peanut butter where the creature, you know, took it out of there with his fingers and wiped it on the tree. Couldn't believe it.
Why don't you do this? Okay, I don't want to tell us the story, nor do I want to steal your thunder, Lee. tell the story from the beginning of the time we got out there till the time we left about you and your wonderful son. How is he doing, by the way?
Oh, he's doing good. He's doing real good.
Okay. Tell our listeners around the globe exactly how it went down and what we did and what we came up with. Go ahead.
Okay. We headed down to Frost, Texas, and met up with some people that one lady that she's had several sightings of the creature down there. So, and it was in a state park type thing that was closed for the winter. So we had to get permission to go in there. And of course, you talked to the authorities to get in there, and we did. And we had the whole place to ourselves that night. And as soon as we got through the gate, we started hearing stuff and seeing things, you know. And before we got out there that day, during the day, we set out peanut butter traps and camera traps in about, I think, four or five locations, maybe six, I can't remember. And in each location, it had peanut butter, a can of sardines, and a camera on it. Well, all night we was hearing stuff and through the woods, and I was with one team. I had one team on the other side of the, over by the lake. And at the end of the night, we heard something growl over there at us that I've never heard before in my life. And it scared me to death. And, you know, so we turned around and came back up there to get you and tell you what happened. And that's when you called me and over there, and there was some, the sardine can was crushed into a ball with the sardine still in it. And the peanut butter had two fingerprints where it dipped it out. And I guess the creature tasted it and didn't like it, wiped it on a tree. His two fingers. And you can see dermal ridges down in the peanut butter and everything where he did that. And David was with us, and we took it back and cast the fingerprints and all that in there. But that's when we saw the dermal ridges and stuff. And then there ended up being a picture on the camera, you know. Later on the next day, we was going to saw that of the hand down in the peanut butter, which is real cool.
Pretty incredible stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't wait till we go again.
You know, I got to tell you a story. That was kind of intriguing due to the fact that they weren't going to let us in that area. That was the Department of Corps of Engineers. Then I went up all the way to the top, and it wasn't until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right before we left, that they gave me the okay, the license to go in. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember how many people we had? What was there, 25?
Yeah, we had a bunch of them. Seemed like we had the whole town with us.
Wasn't that incredible? And that was, and you know, when they say about Tom Biscardi, after the whole hunt, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, what did Tom Biscardi do for everybody?
We all went and had breakfast at IHOP and had a good time. You paid for everybody. Had a real good time.
How well I remember, okay? How well I remember. You know, I got to tell you, son, I can't wait to get back out there, but I'm going to tell you right now, as you and I both know, it's too damn hot out there, and these creatures are hunkering down in the cold, cooler places. And anytime they see them, it's either a female harboring its young that just gave birth, or it's an old one that found sanctuary, and I'll guarantee you there's a mine, an old mine shaft, or a cave in which they're hunkering down where it's a lot cooler. You say hello to your lovely son and your beautiful bride, and just listen up. We got a lot more show, and I love you, man.
Love you, too. Take care, Pop.
Bye. Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Lee Joyner. You hear me talk about him all the time. He's got a vocabulary like you won't believe. You want to hear it, you have him go out on come on an expedition, and you'll hear it. You heard of eubonics? Well, this is Texonics, I'll guarantee it. You'll hear some stuff like you never heard before in your life. And one hell of a guy. And his son is following right in his footsteps. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait a minute. You know what we need to do? Do we have a spot there for the new movie yet?
No, Tom. It's the we don't have a good we have a good video, but we don't have a good sound.
Jeez, I thought Jimmy told me he sent you one.
He did. It's all video. It's all visual. There's no sound. There's no voices in it.
I see. I see. Okay, no problemo. Without any further slot to my other boy Rob. How you doing, son? unmute Rob, would you please?
Doing
Mark
great.
How you going?
We, we just got it unmuted.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. Look here, son, I got to tell you, did that not bring your hairs on the back of your neck up when Lee, our fellow brother in Lee, tell the story? Was that incredible or what?
Man, that brings back memories. Seems like it was yesterday.
Doesn't it?
We were out there in the woods. Of course, he didn't mention, you know, we had to actually walk in there. We couldn't drive.
That's right.
Remember, they wouldn't open the gates. We had to go crawl over, climb over the gates, and walk all the way back in there, which was probably about a 3-4 mile hike.
Well, the thing about it, too, is, what was there, 4 or 5 teams, son? I don't really remember.
There was 5 teams, and some of them had 5, and some of them had 6 members on them.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, 25 people. So the old weary road warrior still remembers. The mind is still sharp as a tack, and believe me, it is. I got to tell you something. Somebody asked me today, well, Rob's been with you for quite a period, a long time right now, probably the longest in the brush anyway. What's the most incredible story does he remember and can he tell at this point in time? I said, well, we'll have him on, and I know it's last minute, and I know it's on the cuff, but you've got the floor. You tell everybody around the globe what you figure was the best, most exciting experience you've had since you've been with me.
Oh, my goodness. You put me on the spot tonight. I wasn't prepared for this. You know, we got so many different places we go, and there's so much exciting things that happen in all these different areas and locations we visit, all the great people. And honest to God, this is going to be a devil of a time picking the best one, because all of them are memorable in their own way, and all of them have their own unique and exciting events that happen and take place. One of them that would probably go to the top of the list we can't talk about tonight. That's going to be coming up here in the near future. But I'll have to say that we had an experience and a half up there on top of a mountain one night about 1:30 in the morning in Arizona, up on the Apache Reservation. I know Chief remembers that one. I sure remember that one. I remember we were a long way away from anything. It was about 80 miles to the nearest gas station.
I remember that one loud and clear. Go ahead, tell it.
But anyway, we're up there. I've got the thermal imager. We've got taken back on this area. It's just a mountainous road that somebody took a dozer and run through there and just knocked it off one time. That's about all there was to it. There was places we were actually concerned about with the vehicle because we didn't want to tear the vehicle up getting back in there with stumps and things of that nature that got knocked over. I'm telling you, we ride and ride and ride. We started out at 7 p.m. Chief usually likes to start an investigation when we're on a hot spot, if there's going to be any action at night, somewhere around the hours of 11 p.m. And we were actually, it just drove up to the location and got there sometime around the vicinity of 11:30 p.m. So we've been driving steady for 7 hours on this horrible road to get back in there to where the stuff was, where the action was. Let me tell you guys, there was nothing there. I mean, you know, as far as there was absolutely nothing. I mean, there's no lights. There's no telephone poles. There's no electricity. There's no running water. If there's water, you got to go find it out on the land. You're going to find it in a hole in the ground somewhere, a little stream, or a place where a pool collected from rainwater. There wasn't hardly anything up there. It's a high-elevation mountain, and we're out in the middle of nothing. I look down, and you can't even see a light anywhere of any kind. You don't even see any area on the horizon on a dark night. You usually see lights from a city or something, or lights from anything off in the distance standing on a sheer cliff of a mountain. There's nothing. As far as you can see, pitch black, total darkness. So, you know, we're way out there. I've got the thermal imager. The chief split us up into 3 teams. He took point with the guide that come out with us in this area. They're familiar with the areas. Our first time ever setting foot on that ground. And as far as I know, nobody really goes there except certain times of the year. The Indians go out there to cut firewood. This is one of the areas where they go to get cut wood for the winter. And they usually go out in the spring and start collecting wood and bringing it back and do that all summer. And like I said, we're 80 miles out. It's a long way back. Got to be extra careful. Anything happens bad, you know, it's where you got to go to get back to. So we have to watch out for everybody on these rock cliffs and walking around. Make sure nobody trips or falls in the dark. You got mountain lions out there. You got bears out there. You got everything else to be concerned with. So Tom's taking point. He's out about probably 600-700 yards ahead of us. And he's going down on the middle road. We had three different paths we took going down through there. I'm up on the far right. I'm on the high ground. And another team we had was down on the low ground because, like I said, we're on this slanted slope, and it was probably, I'd say, about a 15-20-degree slope or about 800 or 900 yards all the way up and down. It's just kind of like going around the side of a mountain. And I got the thermal imager, and I picked something up out there ahead of me, which direct line of sight of me, Tom would be down. He would be in my probably 10 o'clock position from me. Well, I picked something up at 12 o'clock. I got something standing up there in front of me on the imager. I don't know what it is. It ain't a tree. I mean, you know, it's not as horrible dark as everybody thinks it is once you get out there and your eyes get acclimated because, of you know, we had a little bit of moonlight, and these trees are really more on the lines of like a pine tree. They don't have a lot of foliage on them that could, like, stop what light does get through. Stars are out and everything. You can still see a little bit. And I could tell there was something there, but I didn't know what it was. I got the imager on it, and it squats down behind a rock. There's this huge rock boulder sitting up on this hill, and I see it back there behind it, and it squats down, and I can't tell what it is. So I give the imager to another teammate that was up there with me, and I said, look at this, and tell me what do you think it is. And he puts it up there, and he's like, there's nothing there. I was like, well, just keep looking at that boulder, and you'll see something in a minute. And it stood up again and went back down again. I was like, there's something there. So I get the other team member to circle around on up the hill to the right. I'll send him off in about a 3 o'clock direction away from us. I told him to go out there about 200 yards and cut back and circle back on it and see what it does. We're going to try to push it down the hill, not up the hill. Well, as I send the team member off, I see it, you know, start to move, and I lose it for a minute. I pick it back up, and this time it's at my 2 o'clock position. So it has moved that far at a distance of about probably 100 yards. It's already covered about, I figure on that angle, it's uncovered about 160 yards of ground. That's a feat. I mean, for something to do that in just a matter of seconds, that's a long way. And this thing is booking it going up this hill. I'm watching it, and I got the team member going up there. And he's like, I see it, I see it. He's yelling back to me. And I said, well, just keep on putting it. And he pushes him. He goes right over the top of the mountain and down the other side. And we lose it from that point on. But that was a pretty exciting run one night. I was thinking maybe we could flush it down the hill to Tom's group where they could get something on it, or either further down the hill to the other guys. And I had another set of guys coming up behind us, so there wasn't a gap for it to come back. The only way it could escape was to go over the mountain to get away from everyone, because we had it pretty much cornered at that point, and that's what it did. So undoubtedly, they're highly intelligent. I mean, you know, it knew where we were. It could see us. It knew where we were at. It knew where everybody was. It knew it was only out, and it took it. You know, some people talk about possibly one being confrontational. To my knowledge, I haven't seen anything to give me any kind of evidence or reasoning to support that at this time. But, I mean, I'm sure there are mitigating circumstances. And you know, I'd say it was a pretty exciting night.
It was. And every time I think about it, you know, when I hear these stories, it just seems like yesterday. You know, Rob, I want to ask you a question. Did you hear at the top of the hour, When I challenged Animal Planet, not so much Moneymaker, because I know what kind of salt that dude's made of, and I really can't say that because I never met him, never shook his hand, never looked him in the eye, but anybody that can badmouth me and doesn't even know me, he's got he doesn't have any salt. All right, so here's the deal: I made that challenge at the top of the hour, and I make it again. And listen closely to me, Animal Planet. You producers out there, I know how much you pay him. I know how much he's getting. I know the whole story. Nobody knows it more than I. And I don't work for 2 cents. You've got a little followers out there. Listen closely. Tom Biscardi and his crew will work pro bono, no money, to prove to you and the world that he's made of salt. That he's made of the real deal. I challenge Animal Planet. I challenge Matt Moneymaker from BFRO, whatever kind of alphabetical other goofball organization that may be. Okay?
with the two of our teams out in the hot spot. Let's see what we come up with. Is it hot or is it bullshit? Jaron Lee, if you're listening, champion behind this. You'll get some ratings. I'm willing to do it for nothing. To prove to the world, me and my boys, once and for all, who's made up of any salt? Is it DFRO or searching for Bigfoot? You got 72 hours to get a hold of me, all right, for me to do it for nothing. Free, pro bono. We'll pay our own expenses to the way, our own expenses to do whatever it takes. But I'll prove it to the world, once and for all, who knows what the hell they're talking about. You won't hear me out there in front of the camera, well, there it is, and we're going to go get it. Me and my boys will be out there and prove to you what we know how to do best, ladies and gentlemen. You heard me say it for 5 years on this radio show. The rest of them all talk story. They don't know how to do anything else. They do chatter on the internet. They don't know how to do anything else. Or they come on my shirt tails, on my dime. That stuff is over with. Now, you got 72 hours, Animal Planet, to find out who's got the salt. You ready to go, son?
I got muted somehow, but yes, I'm out there and I'm always ready.
Okay, good, good. That's great. All right, well, listen, mute yourself out. We got our brother Mitch coming on now, and let's hear what he's got to say, all right? Thanks, son. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm kind of hanging in there, getting antsy to get back out there and start chasing the monster again.
I know, I know, I know. Well, I don't know. Did you hear my challenge here?
Yeah, I sure did. And you need somebody to go with you and do infrared or night vision or whatever, I'm ready.
That's my boy. You'll be a member of my team any day, okay? Any day. Let's see if they've got the balls to contact me now. And let's see if the world out there needs to call Animal Planet, email Animal Planet, bust their balls, and say, hey, look, get the real guy out there and challenge BFRO, all right? Let's see who comes up with what we come up with. And Biscardi and his team, for that length of whatever the shoot may be, 1 to 5 days, 1 to 3 days, I'll pick up my own dime. Nobody needs to pay me nothing. I'd love to hear it. Well, forget about that right now. Here's the deal. I've been getting phone calls. I've been getting emails from people all around the globe. Can Mitch Waite please come back on and tell us about the lair that he found? And, oh, by the way, why didn't he capture it when he had it in front of him? And I said, okay, fine. We got you now. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes, Mitch. Tell your story and tell them what you did and why you didn't do it or whatever. Go. You got the stage.
Okay. When I first formed MogionMonster.com, the group, we made a charter that said that we were going to be a non-kill organization, no harm. And so basically when we were out looking for Arizona's Bigfoot and we ran across this pine needle nest, we were really unprepared for what was going to happen next. The pine needle nest was... Well, it was about 12 feet long, about 5 feet tall, and about 6 feet wide. And there was a hole in one end of it that allowed for the entrance. And we looked at it and photographed it and so forth. And then several of my folks headed back, back towards the road and to the vehicles, because it was quite a hike. But I stayed behind, and there's about 4 or 5 of us that we were decided to go and see what was inside, climb in and see how it was built and so forth. And I wasn't really expecting to find anything inside. So I climbed inside and I turned my night vision on my camera, and I was busy looking at what I could see as I climbed in the hole. And you know, when you first start into an entrance like that and there's no light source in the background, it gets dark real quick. So I was basically not watching my camera and the night vision. I was trying to see with my natural eyes. And as I climbed a little bit further in to see how far back it was, that's when I noticed what appeared to be a baby Bigfoot. It had a foot like shaped like a human. It had legs like humans. I could see its eyes look at me from time to time. And basically, I was only about 3 feet away from it. And, you know, I was, like I said, we were totally unprepared. I was, I didn't have my pistol with me. And the people around the nest had directions that if I did start screaming and yelling, they were supposed to yank me, you know, grab me by the ankles and pull me out. But when I looked at it, you know, I remembered the charter that we set forth, and so we chose, or I chose, not to do any harm. Instead, we pulled out, we put cameras on the nest, and was hoping that we would either get it coming out of the nest or the mom coming in. And what we ended up with was one photo of a large hairy arm and a chest as it rotated my camera around on the tree to look the other direction. So that's what happened with that nest.
Amazing. Just totally amazing. And thank you for telling the truth, and thank you for telling the story and putting it in its full perspective. Listen, we come to the end. I want to thank you again. Prayers go out to Mama. And just bear up, my friend, and keep strong, and we're there for you no matter what, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
God bless, Mitch. God bless you. Listen,
right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigfoot Lives 2, the saga continues. You need to get it. The only place you can get it right now is on my website, searchingforbigfoot.com. Until next time, America. Kudos and salutations.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Keep it.